Are we gullible? What is gullible? Here is some of the definitions. It is a person that has easily been deceived or can be easily manipulated. Like that. It's a person who's quick to believe info without critical evaluating it. You just, you know, take everything as if it is the truth. That man is lying into your face and you think it is the truth. So that's gullible. Because someone is gullible, is easily manipulated, can easily, you know, believe stuff that has been told him and without evaluating it. No, don't be gullible. No, I will not be gullible. I will evaluate what you say. Really? Is it really so? Gullible, it is people who just believe anything and anyone and everything without being evaluated. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 12 say, listen again to this. You can remember from verse 9, Paul said, or do you not know, talking to the children of God, that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God. Doesn't matter who that wrongdoer is, and doesn't matter what that thing is that has been done that is wrong. Don't you know that wrongdoers will not inherit the kingdom of God? And then what do we say? Again, do not be deceived. Don't be gullible. Don't think that you can get away with it. They say, no. And then he come and say, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who have sex with men, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor, and you can add to that list, slanderers, swindlers, will inherit the kingdom of God. And then he come to the children of God. He say to them again, and that was some of you. You came out of that. How can you go back there again? You've been born again. You've been washed by the blood of Christ. You've been indwelled by the Spirit of God. You've been made just before God. We talk about justification. How can you go back there? How can you do and associate with them? How? Because those things, listen to verse 12. He said, you are washed, but you were washed, in verse 11. And then they come, verse 12, and say, you think you say. He say, but you say, I have the right to do anything. That's what you think, because you are busy deceiving yourself. He said, I will not be mastered by anything, by not everything is beneficial. Not everything that I do is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. Think of your life where you come from. That thing or things has overpowered you, has mastered you, and you can't get your life back. The control that you have once over your life is being taken away, and that thing has become your master. We became slaves of sin. We've been born slaves to sin. Until we come to Christ, we are no more slaves to sin. No more. That song that say, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I can use that very same song and say, I'm no longer a slave to sin. I am a child of God. Why? Jesus has set me free. He break that power of sin, that mastership, the lordship of Satan, he break it in my life. And he became the Lord of my life now. And they've been indwelt by the Spirit of God. And he said, now, don't go back there. Don't go and do that. You may think it is beneficial for you. So you think so. So you say, is it really beneficial for you? This thing has the power to overcome you. This thing has the power to take away the control of your life. And this will control you. This will. Paul said here, he say in verse 23 of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He say these words, I write it down. He say, but not everything. He say, nearly the same. You say you can do anything. He say, but not everything is constructive. In other words, it has to build you up. That relationship, that association that you have, is supposed to build you up. It's supposed to bring you closer to God. But it is actually destructive. It's the negative part where it breaks everything down. I said here, the moment you give in into that sin, into that temptation, into that manipulation, etc., that thing takes away your power and that thing will control your life. And you don't have any more it in control. What is counseling? There's 101 definitions of it. One of them is to help you to get your life back in control with the help of the Holy Spirit, to get it back so that you can run your life with Him. Well, let me turn it around, that He can run your life with your help. You have to cooperate with Him. And if we do that, that doesn't mean we will never have a counselor again. We will. From time to time, we need other men to speak into our lives. From time to time, I have three accountable partners that is not in part of this mission, is outside of this mission. And time to time, I sit with them, talk to them, and just let other men who is longer in ministry than me, who's older than me, to build into my life. I'm accountable to them. Keep me on my toes. What is it to be a godly man? What is my associates? And I don't want them, and I told them, don't tell me what I want to know. Tell me what I need to know, even if it hurts. Don't tell me to tickle my ears. Tell me. And I'm telling you, those men are straightforward. They tell it what it is. And I have to deal with that. And I can't thank God enough for that, because I want to associate with such men. It lifts me higher up where I am. It lifts me to the level where they are. Not that you think you are proud and boastful. No, it is spiritually edifying. It is constructive. Builds. It equips. It warns. It rebukes. 1 Peter, if you can turn with me to 1 Peter. And again, I ask us that question. With whom do you associate? Because I want to come to that theme, intentional association or intentional relationships. What is it? What does it constitute? In 1 Peter 2, verse 16, it says, Peter said to the Christians, he said, live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slave. I am His slave. He's my Lord of my life. You know what is the problem of many of us? And I'm talking general, that's why I say us. You know, when we think and look at our friends, okay? The friends of our past, the friends that caused me where I am here in the Chamos now. Many of where I am, it is because of my association with them. It is not that they look for me, it was me who looked for them. Here's the thing I heard many times, people, I'm talking about men. Sorry, ladies, that you feel a little bit left out. Maybe I think there's the same principle is for the ladies too. But I hear many times the men say, you know what? We have a history together. This is my buddy, man, my school buddy. We know each other from school years, man, from, I don't want to say from infancy, but from grade zero, man. We get to know each other there, and right through life, we are best buddies. We do things together. If we are naughty, we are naughty together. We was in jail together. We do this together. You can't separate Bonnie and Clyde, Heckle and Jekyll, unseparated from each other. How many times in this mission I heard many times when they asked, please, can you help this guy? But you have to take his friend. He can't live without his friend because they have a history together. They are both dropouts. They are both here and they are both there. You have to take both of them. Then we said, sorry, man, don't take friends. You have to come first. They have to decide which is first. Then no one of them want to come. If you can't take me, my friend, with me, then I don't want to come. Then I stay in the streets with my friend. You may have a history together, but you will not have a future together. Maybe you can write it down in your book. Mark it. You may have a history and with that associate of the past till today. I'm telling you, in the future, you won't have a future of that associate. Look where you are now. Look who brought us here. Where are they? When you sit in jail, where are they? When you try to rob somebody and you've been caught, where are they? You don't have a future together. And before you know, both of you might end up in hell together. And I'm telling you, there's no love and there's no friendship in hell. Either both of you are going to grind each other. There's no friendships in hell. But there's a friendship in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. What association can there be with Jesus? You say, God has called you to freedom. Don't go back and become a slave of it again. And I said again, without judging you or us, and say, oh, this one is judgmental. No, no. I also come from there. And it's the company we keep. And we honor them higher than our families. And men, if you are married, or women, and you are married, and you sit in the dumps, and because of your friends, your family means zots to you. That means zots to us. Because they are the ones that we esteem so high, higher than God. They are the gods in our lives. And if they say jump, you jump. No. Listen to 2 Peter, just a few chapters on, pages on. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19. These people, and already you can start from verse 17. They say, these people are springs without water and mist, driven by a storm. This a spirit that driven these people. Blackest darkness is reserved for them. Look already where their destiny is. Blackest darkness. For their mouth is empty, boastful words, and by appealing to the lustful desires of the flesh, they entice people who are just escaping from those who live in error. I just came out of that hell. I just came out of that sewage dump. Nearly lost my life there. I escaped with the skin of my body on. These people was the ones also who dragged me there. They promised me freedom while they themselves are slaves of depravity. For people are slaves to whatever has mastered them. These people promise you the moon and don't even give you the sun. And they promise you whatever can appeal to our lustful nature, and we just be gullible and follow it. And where does it brought us? Where did it bring us? Suicide, broken marriages, a broken relationship with God. You look at your back and you look at your track record and you see I have more jobs in my life than I have breakfast. And no one wants me. Why? I'm hopped from one job to the other. I can't even keep a job. Why? That is the company I keep. And don't blame everything on them. The choices that we made. You say, these people promise. I want you to take verse 19 and ask your question. How many people that you and I deceived with the same deception that I was being deceived? And I telling them, what life is this? Man. This is life. You can stay as you are for the rest of your life. And I saw myself standing with that bottle in the air. And I say, this is life. Look what I've missed. You missed nothing because this leads to hell. Until I come to my senses. 1 Corinthians 5, 6 again. He said, your boasting is not good. And I can see sometimes when you know, especially if you were in prison. And you speak that prison language. It only works in the prison, not here. And you was the alpha dog, and there was a guy here, he was a general, and he was a number 28. And I can see this guy's heart is not changed, because we speak the same language. And we keep on speaking the same language. The Bible says, he who is in Christ is a new creation. Look, all things became new. I want you to look. If people look at us, can they see that this is a new creation? In our, you know, all these body languages and you know, we have all these. We think we are the chotchis. We want to show them how can a chotchi be a chotchi. Or can we show them what it is to be a Christian? And that what and with whom we associate. That is why we are powerless. Powerless to resist temptation. Why? The company we keep. Erosion. Again, that word, erosion. And I want to hasten myself. Association. Let's look at some biblical figures here. In Genesis chapter 14, maybe you can quickly turn together with me there. It's right in the beginning of your Bible. There was Abraham and Lot. And the place bring for them a little bit narrow. It was Abraham with his nephew and all of their families and all of their livestock. So the herdsmen was fighting with one another, about the place where their animals must graze, and say, no, this place is mine. That one say, no, this is mine. So they quarrel amongst each other, and they're going to have a family fight. And Abraham said, no, it doesn't work like it. Lot, come, let's sit together. And here together, they make a plan. You know, they say a boer maak a plan, but the Indian has a plan. You know why a boer maak a plan? Because he make it nonsense teruggemaak. No, maak hy a plan. A boer make a nonsense and now he have to make a plan. But the Indian is apparently born with a plan, you know. So that's good. You don't have to make a plan. So so they make a plan and they say, I want you to choose. Lord, I'm going to give you the first option to choose. Which one? If you look to the north, you can take it if you want it. Look to the south and you want that, you can take it. If you look to the west, you want it, okay, you can go. If you look to the south, it doesn't matter. Where do you want to go? Okay, so chapter 14, as from verse 14, say, when Abraham heard that he's, now remember, the Bible say Lot has choose actually the best. If you read the whole chapter, I don't have so much time to read it. But Lot has taken it, his part, in the direction of Sodom and Gomorrah. He didn't know that it is on that road, but he took the bad part. And as he depart from Abraham at that part, he go on and on and on. And the Bible say, Lot has found him in a very tight predicament that Lot was being captured. From verse 14 say these words, when Abraham heard that his relative had been taken captive, he called out 318 trained men born in his household and went in pursuit as far as Dan. During the night, Abraham divided his men to attack them, and he routed them, pursuing them as far as Hobah, north of Damascus. He recovered all the goods and brought back his relative Lot and his possessions, together with the woman and the other people. My question was, how did Lot being taken captive? Where did he been taken captive? Sodom and Gomorrah. How did he get there? In Genesis chapter 13, verse 7, the Bible say that what I explained, the quarreling that happens arose Abraham's herds and the Lot's herds, the Canaanites and the Perizzites. We're also living in the land at that time. And so Abraham said, as you can read, you choose which one where you go. If you go left, I go right. If you go right, I go left. Verse 9. And then verse 10. Lot looked around and saw that the whole plain of the Jordan towards Zoar was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out toward the east. The two men parted company. Abraham lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tent. Listen to this. He pitched his tent near Sodom. Verse 13, now the people of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord. It tells us about Sodom and Gomorrah. He pitched his tent near. Verse 14, the Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had parted from him. Look around from where you are, to the north and to the south, to the east and to the west. All the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Go, walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you. So Abraham went to live near the great trees of Mamre at Hebron, where he pitched his tent, and there he built an altar to the Lord. Then you can read chapter 14. He's been captured, as verse 12 said, by these kings. Four kings seized all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their food, in verse 11. Then they went away. And then they carry also off Abraham's nephew Lot and his possessions, since he was living where? In Sodom. Lot depart from Abraham, pitch his tent near Sodom. If he was staying there and those kings have taken the people captive in Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot won't be there. But he's been taken captive where? Because he was living in Sodom. Associate. And poor Lot, how did you get there? There is something, and I don't know if you ever know that, there's the saying, the law of attraction. The birds of the same feather flock together. And hear me out. I don't say that Lot was indulging him with the same sin as Sodom and Gomorrah. He didn't. But what are you doing there? In the wrong place. Wrong associations in Sodom. Genesis 19, as from verse 1. And here is the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. The two angels arrive at Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gateway of the city. When he saw them, he got up and met them, bowed down with his face to the ground. And then verse 9, the angel said to him, get out of this place. But here comes the men of Sodom and Gomorrah, and they want to have intimacy with these angels. That's the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. And listen to what Lot said, get out of our way, they replied, just men. They said, no, these fellows came here as foreigners, and now he wants to play the judge. He's talking to Lot. We will treat you worse than them. They kept bringing pressure on Lot and moved forward to break down the door. These men of Sodom and Gomorrah want to come into Lot's house to do what? They want those men that come to him. And Lot will go so far to give his daughters to them and say that you can have my daughters. They slept with no man. They are still pure. I give them to you and you can do with them just what you want. I will. But just leave these men. They are my guests. And then the angel said, take your stuff now and go. The judgment of God is on Sodom and Gomorrah. And what happened? They tarry. And they tarry, and the angels took them by the hand and say, go! Don't look back! You do! And what did his wife do? You know the story? She looked back. Her heart was still there. And she changed into a pillar of salt. I don't have time left. I want you to think of the law of attraction. The company I keep, where I can compromise instead of separate myself. Obadiah 1 verse 3 say, the pride of your heart has deceived you. Obadiah 1 verse 3. The pride of your heart has deceived you. You who live in the clefts of the rock, in your lofty dwelling, who say in your heart, who will bring me down to the ground? Who? Does that sound familiar? Who said, who's the God who's going to save you from my hand? Wasn't it Nebuchadnezzar who told Daniel, no one is going to save you. I'm going to throw you in this furnace that's seven times hotter than hell, man. And who? You and what army? Our paraphrasing. What God? And there's one thing that he overlooked. And that is the King of Kings. The King, you will never put him in checkmate. Because the King has always have one move left. Always. Now if I take that, and I want to say this, and I want you to hold on to your seat. Maybe you think where you are, you find yourself checkmate. The king who is God himself, the king always have one move left. Guess what? You are that move. I want you to process that. You are that move. Father, thank you for your word in this hour. Help us to process this. Help us to go through our notes again, especially here in Genesis chapter 13, 14 about Abraham and Lot and how did Lot get himself in this predicament? First near Sodom, now in Sodom. But God's grace is so huge that he don't want to punish Sodom and Gomorrah and bring destruction on Sodom and Gomorrah unless his child is out of that predicament. Abram plead, if there's 50, if there's 40, if there's 30, if there's 20, if there's 10, God said, if there's one, I will spare it. He could find none. He took Lot out and destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. His wife was longing for that association where they come from. After the warning, after knowing this is what God is going to do, she dared to turn around. And sometimes we, instead of resist the devil and be obedient unto you, we resist God and be obedient unto the devil. Oh Lord, confirm this in our hearts, that we can see what you want us to see and hear in this hour. What is the company, the associations that we keep? Because that when destruction comes, that I will not be count among them. Prepare our hearts for tomorrow, the Lord's willing. We ask it in Jesus' name.